There's a famous quip attributed to Karl Marx, father of communism, apostate Jew. Because of this quip, probably millions of Jews who lived under the communist regimes lost their shaychus to Yiddishkeit. And the quip is that Marx said that that religion is the opiate of the masses. Religion is like opium, drugs, marijuana. Anybody who's religious is walking around drunk the whole time. You want to get in a good mood, you want to relax, you take a glass of wine, or you take a drag of opium, and the whole world looks really peaceful and serene and nice, and you have relaxing music in the background, and that's what religion does for people. So when you want to start the workers' paradise, and you want people to take life seriously, so you got to get rid of the opium. You can't have a whole society of people walking around drunk all the time. I mean, life is serious. We're going to have to work hard to take over the world. So basically, no religion in the socialist countries, no religion in the communist countries, because religion is the opiate of the masses. All right, now let me tell you a little secret. And don't spread this too far. But Karl Marx was a very smart man. He made a lot of mistakes. Communism doesn't work too much. But as far as religion being the opiate of the masses, as far as religion making people high and lose touch with reality, he's 100% right. When you take a look at Christianity tells you to take life seriously, to work hard. Hey, you can have a good time. You can go out, be mezana. You can steal. You can cheat. Just make sure to confess to your priest. And then Yashka saves you. And it's all right. Get drunk. You are drunk. Islam? Oh, that's a tough religion. Not really. Do whatever you want. Live a benighted existence. I mean, it has nothing to do with their religion. They don't just, they don't work hard in this world. And just kill yourself and a whole bunch of other people along with you. You're going right to paradise. It's a dream or it's a nightmare. But it doesn't tell you to take life seriously. It doesn't tell you that everything that you do matters, that you have to make the world a better place. And even those who take Yiddishkeit as a religion, that's all about spirituality and feeling good and getting inspired and getting high. That's opium. The problem is that Marx didn't really look too thoroughly in his own backyard. Because if you look at what Yiddishkeit and Torah is really about, Torah is Milashon Hara, it's instructions as to how to live. And there is absolutely nothing, whether it be business or whether it be your kitchen or whether it be learning, that isn't encompassed in Torah. And Torah tells you that you have to work very, very hard in this world. And if there's going to be a spiritual high, the spiritual high is going to come from good old-fashioned hard work of trying to make the world into a better place. L'takei noilam b'malchus shakai. And that's a message that comes across very, very clearly in the discussion about the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohen, who Kohen is, he's the priest. He's the most spiritual of all people. But if you look at the Psukim, here and in the Navi and Malachi, you have a different picture of who the Kohen Gadol is and who he's meant to be. Parshas Tetzaveh is all about the big day kahuna. It's all about how the Kohen's supposed to dress. Kohen Gadol's supposed to dress, in the words of Korach or Korach's wife. So the Kohen Gadol was Mikushetes Kakala. He was all adorned like a kala, all decked out. Looks very nice. the words of the pasuk, "V'yasisa b'gdei kodesh la'aron achicha." Moshe Rabbeinu is told that you have to make holy vestments, holy clothes for your brother Aaron. Why? L'kavod, for honor. L'tiferes, for his glory. Why? Zok the Ramban, ki eila habegadim levushe malchus heim. Because these begadim are their royal clothes. Kidmusan yilbishu hamalachim bismana Torah. The times of the Torah, the kings, the royalty, wore vestments like the Kohen Gadol did. Aye, why does he have to dress like a king? Why does he have to dress in such a royal type of a manner? It's a very interesting Sfarnai. The Sfarnai says over here, L'tiferes, there's a reason that he's got to look like a king. Maybe all of the Rabbeim are going to start dressing differently after we finish with this, right? In Israel, everybody wears a frock. But take a look at this Sfarnai. Shiyye kain moira, noira al kol svivav. The kain is a teacher. And he should be an awesomely inspiring teacher on everyone around him. Who is kol svivav? Shehem talmidav. Those are his students. Hachakukim al-libay, whose names, all the shvatim, are engraved on his heart. V'ksefav, on his shoulders. Carries all of his talmidim on his heart and on his shoulders. So the reason that he has to dress like a melech, the reason that he has to be so stunning, is because of the fact that he's a teacher. He's a meira. And he has to be awesomely inspiring. Neiraos. You take a look at the Navi of Malachi. The Navi of Malachi describes the original Kain. He describes Aaron HaKain. He doesn't describe Aaron HaKain in the way that we would have thought. Teiras Emes Haisa B'pihu. There was Teiras Emes. There was the teaching of truth in his mouth. Va'avla Lang Nimtza B'sfasav. And his lips never spoke crookedness. Aaron HaKohen always went with peace. He was always yasher, he was always straight. And Aaron brought back many people from Averis. Aaron was the Oyev Shalom, Raidev Shalom. He got people back on track. Why? Because the lips of the Kohen are the guardians of good sense. His lips are the guardians of good sense. What the Kohen tells you, that makes sure that you're going to do what's sensible. V'tayra yivak shemipiu, and they'll always ask Torah of his mouth. People ask the Kohen their shailas. Ki malach Hashem tzvokaisu. Pashat pshaz malach Hashem tzvokaisu, aside from the Medrash Chazal that everybody knows, because he's the shliach of Hashem. So what's the job of the Kohen? You ask any person, and you look at any English translation, the Kohen Gadol is the high priest. He's a spiritual leader. His job is to walk around in his fancy clothes and inspire everybody so that we can see what true spirituality is. But that's not what the Sfarnai says. And that's not what the Psukim seem to say either. The Kohen is a manik of Torah. He's a teacher of Torah. And the reason that he has to look the way that he does is because that's part of that role. I always remember the first time that I ever saw Rav Avadia Yosef, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha. It was at a simcha here in Eretz Yisrael. And, I'm not used to this. I'm not the Sephardi, and I didn't grow up in Eretz Yisrael. And he comes in his regalia, a Sephardi Chacham comes in. And to me, it was like, I found it strange, But there's a, what's it called? There's a pomp and grandeur to it. Why? So that everybody can go and kiss his hand? No. It's because he's the Chacham, and he represents Torah. He's the manik for all of these people. And it has to be grand. There has to be splendor. But that's what the Kohen is. The Kohen is not somebody's spiritual existence of getting spiritually high. He's the teacher. He's the manik. And that's what the Sfarnei and that's what the Psukim teach us. The Maisa is interesting. I don't know why it is. I think Rabbi Wiener pointed this out to me. Speaking about Rabbi Avadi Yosef, Rabbi Wiener pointed this out to me once when we were in America. He says, how come you get along so well with Sfardim? Meeting very different people, a lot of Sfardim, and I always had a kesher with the old Talmidim. I don't know. I take this as a compliment. I find that Sfardim are very sincere. They have a lot of levaviyut, usually have big hearts. And there's a certain passion that they live with. So all of which I connect with very, very much. So when there was a member of the Kollel over here, over the last couple of weeks, he was invited to Sfardi Yeshiva to substitute as a Magid Shir. So I made sure to go over to him afterwards and to ask him his impressions. And he said to me, you know, it's really interesting. There's such a cultural difference between Sfardim and Ashkenazim, and even serious Sfardim who are into learning. So I said, well, how so? He said, well, the whole way that they relate to a Rebbe is different. It's, you know, there's an inner respect. There's a chashivus of the fact that, you know, of Torah and Yerushimayim, even if they're not necessarily holding by it. So I said, okay, so that's gewaldic, you know, that's wonderful, it's true. And say, yeah, but sometimes, you know, it can act as a detriment. Because people feel that if they have that, so then they don't need to do the rest of it. And I said to him, you know, I know exactly what you mean. A lot of times, I'm on the bus a lot of times. Sometimes, I'm on the bus. And see a kid, you know, or an almost man who looks like he had a rough time in life, having a rough time in life. I like to sit next to these people, you know, show them that, give them the respect of, like, they're a human being, they have what to say, people still have confidence in them. And a lot of times after talking to them, you know, you shake your hand, and they'll take your hand and shake it back, and then, you know, after you let go of their hand, they take their hand and they kiss it. So some people are very excited by that, you know, there's a magic charm, you know. To me, it makes me very, very nervous. What is that? That's what Yiddishkeit is about. Of course, if you have an attachment to something, that's beautiful. But that's something that has to come from a much deeper connection to Torah. If you work hard, you make yourself into a real person, a real Ben Torah. So then you feel that inspiration from inside. But when it's out from outside, that's just the opiate of the masses. And we have it in Yiddishkeit too. The Zohar HaKadosh says, and you don't get any holier than that, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Minolan de Kayin Gadol Tzarech Liyais Talmud Chacham. How do you know that the Kayin Gadol has to be a Talmud Chacham? Shenemar ki sifse kayin yishmeru das v'tere yivak shmi piyu ki malach Hashem tzavakos hu. Everybody thinks that pasuk is about Magid Shir. They have books by that named after that pasuk. One about Rav Baruch Ber, one about Rav Shimon Shkup, who was a kayin. But the pashtus of the pasuk is talking about Aaron HaKayin. It's talking about the traditional role of the kayin. Unlike what we think, that the Kohen's job is to inspire. The Kohen's job is there to create spiritual background music. No. The Kohen's job is to be a Talmud Chacham and to raise people in terms of the real qualities and make people into Jews. There's no time for opium. You have to work hard. I'll just leave you off with one story, which to me was very, very scary. I had the zechus to grow up in Muncie and grew up in the community in the shul of Roy Berlwein. Also had the zechus of attending high school together with your father. And he just put out an autobiography. A lot of crazy stories in autobiography. It was a lot of fun for me. I felt like I was a character in the book. See some of the pictures in there. These are the guys I went to high school with. But there's one story in the book which really gives you the creeps. Apparently when Rabbi Wein was a Rav in Miami, so his chavrusa, Rabbi Rotman of Merkaz HaTorah. Merkaz HaTorah was started by Rabbi Rotman, who's Rabbi Wein's old chavrusa. Rabbi Wein is about 10 years younger than him. And after he started Merkaz HaTorah, so they were going to build a new building, and he went collecting, like all Rosh Yeshiva do. And the bank account was in Miami. And Rabbi Wein was, I don't know, whatever, the custodian or how, whatever it was, but he was overseeing the bank account. So one day he gets a call from the bank manager, there's a big problem. What happened? Rotman is a very big tzaddik. Everybody who knows him knows that. And apparently there was this very charismatic charlatan in Eretz Yisrael who convinced them that he could change money at a better rate than anybody else. And he gave them two huge checks, you know, for a couple of $100,000 apiece. And this guy walked off with, I don't know, $500,000-$600,000, whatever it was. And the whole thing ended up, and you know, whatever, terror, this, that, or whatever. They got it straightened out at the end. Okay, what's the spooky part of this story? He says, okay, dude. Guy had to make a living, so he resurfaced. How did he resurface? As a holy man. Travels around the world now, asking, giving people brachas. He said he was once in, Rabbi Wein says, he was once in Brooklyn or wherever it was, maybe I'm wrong, and a room full of people coming to get the bracha from this mobster. He said he couldn't contain himself. He went over to him and said, you know, okay, fine, very nice to give all these people brachas. You know, remember the $600,000? He said the guy turned white. Took him about 2 minutes, though. He regained his composure, looked at the next person in line to get his bracha, and in the words of the book, and he continued to bestow his blessings on all those who were stupid enough to ask for them. People get inspired very, very easily. You have a charismatic personality. You know how to inspire people. You know how to sing the right tune. It's very dangerous. And that's opium. That's what Marx meant. And he was right. But Torah is not a religion in the classic sense. Torah is a manual for how to use this world, do our job in this world, and mimela we get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we do our job properly, do we feel inspired? Do we feel uplifted? Of course. Because when your neshama connects to its source, you will feel inspired. You will feel uplifted. But if you walk around looking for an uplift, let's go learn Kabbalah. Let's go have another kumzitz. Let's go have another experience so that we can feel that geschmack and feel that high. Go take a drag and get stoned. It's about the same thing. He knew what he was talking about. He even learned something from an apikeres, like Karl Marx. Kabbalah emes mimisha amrei. Always make sure that you work hard, and after you work hard, you will feel inspired. Don't go around trying to get inspired, because that's going to prevent you from ever working hard, and then you never get anywhere. As Hashem, you should all work hard, become very, very inspired, and get very, very far in everything in life. Shabbos.